On May 23rd, 1999, all three of us, as well as Katie's brother Matthew, were baptized here. The same day, the same priest, the same water. Who would have imagined back then that we'd be in the same place 18 years later? That day, all of you made promises to do all in your power to support us in our lives in Christ, and you lived up to them. We're here, at least in part, because of all of you, and we hope to live up to your promises on that day too. In today's gospel passage, John details one of Jesus' last messages to his disciples. At the Last Supper, in preparation for a great transition, both in his life and in his journey of faith, Jesus turns towards his companions and urges them to trust him and trust the path of God. He urges them to do this despite the unknown obstacles that will inevitably challenge their convictions, reassuring them by saying, "In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places." With those words, he introduces the idea that we all have a different interpretation of God that stems from our own experiences, views, and backgrounds, and that these interpretations are all viable and necessary in forming your own spiritual understanding. Reflecting on our own lives, we are preparing to set out on our own journeys now, readily braced for some obstacles, but for others, like in the case of the disciples in the days following the Last Supper, completely unaware of some of the complications that will arise. The path won't always be simple and clear. Sometimes it will be confusing, difficult, and unexplainable. Referring to these testing moments, Thomas says, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Looking towards college and leaving places of comfort and familiarity like St. Albans, we might not always know where we're going or how we'll get there, yet we know we can place trust in God. In response to Thomas's confusion, Jesus pleads with them, explaining that faith in God are not tangible physical beings that he can summon, but rather manifest themselves in many different ways, and that he can be trusted to show them the next step. Throughout our time at St. Albans, Colleen and I have seen the many different dwelling places of God, from sweltering hot rooftops in the middle of Appalachian Tennessee, to the rocky terrain and rainy days of Ireland, to most importantly, the loving and truly unique community we have made here at St. Albans. We've been asked to trust God, ourselves, and each other, and shown what real trust looks like.
Each Sunday, this church, our church, is a physical and spiritual embodiment of Christ's love and work, built on the foundation of trust. Every Sunday, we trust that our pews will be filled with the faithful, the seeker, the doubter, and that teenager who stayed up a little too late on Saturday night. St. Albans has seen both of us, and I'm sure many of you, grow up. From being the little lamb who wouldn't stay quiet in the Christmas pageant, to the kid who broke all the crayons in Miss Hassett's catechesis class, to realizing that the consequences of eating 7 chocolate chip cookies outweigh the benefits, you've seen us through times when we've been anything but trustworthy. But more importantly, we've grown because of the trust you gradually and gracefully extended to us. You've trusted us to represent you each summer with the Appalachia Service Project. This year will be my 4th ASP trip in a row. As we begin each trip on Sunday morning and pack the vans, my mom and dad will agree with me when I say that you are the only people we could ever get along with at that hour. But that warmth and comforting sense of St. Albans does not just stay here. It is a spirit of trust and confidence that lives within each of us throughout the week as we maneuver and overcome the obstacles and hardships that come with rebuilding houses. Each year, this trip is more than just a week of transformation for me. It's another footstep in my finding a footing in my own faith. But it is hard. You are challenged. You rarely ever get to see the finished project, and you 100% will make an error along the way. Many times I would find myself doubting my ability, but it was the trust of those around us and those of whose house we were working on each year that remind me why trust is so important. I believe that God's lively presence and spirit in each of the family members helped me work harder in the harsh conditions. Each family has opened their arms to me and trusted that I and my ridiculous overalls were sent to them with a purpose, and they let nothing come between them. Trust is the relationship that is formed on ASP, and it is a hallmark of a family, our family. My first realization of this was when Emma and I were not allowed to be on the same work team our first year. Fortunately, you and your group become one on ASP. It is no longer six individuals awkwardly sitting in a van or at the center, but rather one tone-deaf family singing karaoke on the way to the work site or at dinner. You and the people you work for and with become one, a five-day transformation where love, faith, and trust are so prevalent you feel like you can almost touch it. But most importantly, you come home trusting yourself and the God who brought you all together. Much like my 3 years of ASP, St. Albans as a church has been preparing me and each one of us, whether it be 18 years or 50, to handle and understand that life is not always easy. But it is trust that makes it manageable. And I have learned that it is the trust between each and every one of us that truly makes it thrive.
Trust is also something we learned on our pilgrimage, whether we intended to or not. Before we left for Ireland 2 summers ago, we were told that we were not to ask the leaders where we were going or what we were doing. On the not-so-rare occasion that we forgot and asked anyway, we were told to focus on what was happening then, to enjoy the moment, if you will. As a result, we had no idea where we were going or what we were doing, and we had to trust that our leaders did. Fortunately for us, they did. The only thing we knew for sure was that we would be asked to reflect on something. On our first day of pilgrimage, we were given small journals, and every morning we were given a prompt about that day's Bible lesson to write about. Regardless of whether we used them for that purpose, our being given them established something important. This was more than just a fun trip to a foreign place without our parents. We were there to develop our relationships with God and with each other. After Compline was finished each night, we were asked the question, "Where did you see God today?" We were first asked that question at our first Compline on the Rite 13 beach trip. It was very awkward, and getting out answers was like pulling teeth. I think maybe two people spoke. Many of us were still getting to know each other at the time, and more than that, if we hadn't really been looking for God, we hadn't seen anything. By pilgrimage, though, we knew what to expect, and when Matthew Hinnissian asked us that question, we were ready to go. The answers we gave were wonderfully different. Some of us saw God in people, some saw God in nature, and some felt the presence of God in simply being alone at some point. We were comfortable enough to share our varying beliefs about God, and they were all so different. I think that's great. In my father's house, there are many dwelling places, and not every dwelling place looks the same. Our last night of Compline was different, though. Rather than simply telling everyone where we had seen God that day, we were asked what we were going to leave in Ireland and what we were going to take home with us. Well, now as we leave this dwelling place behind, we have to consider what we're going to leave here at St. Albans and what we're going to take away with us. I know I will have to leave behind the people I've met here. I have no choice. I can't put you all in a cardboard box and take you with me. I'll also have to leave behind youth group and choir and all the other things I've come to associate with this church. I'll take the memories with me, though, and the knowledge of what it means to fully trust other people, and my growing knowledge of what it means to trust God. When we gathered around for Compline on our many adventures together, we said these words from Psalm 31 before saying the Lord's Prayer. Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, O God of truth. When I first said those words as a 13-year-old, I thought they were pretty, but I only learned what that kind of trust meant much later. I learned it through climbing a mountain in Ireland when we boosted one another up so we could reach the summit. I learned it on ASP when I was asked to cut floorboards with a circular saw. I learned it through chanting the Psalms with people much more experienced than me. And I learned it through standing around in that circle on the last night in Ireland, weeping and hugging after saying our last Compline. I learned about trust when it was extended to me. We all have different and ever-changing lives. We are approaching one of the biggest changes of our lives thus far. We're going to college. But maybe some of you are starting a new job, or moving to a new place, or getting married, or having a child or grandchild. No matter how big or small they are, throughout our life we go through changes, some for better, some for worse. As we go through the many changes of our lives, it is worth remembering that God is worthy of our trust. And even as our lives change, this aspect of God is eternal. I want to conclude today's sermon with prayer number 47, found on page 829 in the Book of Common Prayer. It's called the Prayer for Young Persons, but I think its words are applicable to everyone as we grow in our faith. God, our Father, you see your children growing up in an unsteady and confusing world. Show us that your ways give more life than the ways of the world, and that following you is better than chasing after selfish goals. Help us to take failure not as a measure of our worth, but as a chance for a new start. Give us strength to hold our faith in you, and to keep alive our joy in your creation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.